What's the list again?
What models are there? Tortuga. Talk about the Tortuga. When it is available and how much it costs. How to set it up. Recommended electronics.
Are you about to be done with the guitar?
Oh, you want to go right now? No. Alrighty, we're back with BKRC podcast number 13. This time we're talking about something outside of the norm for us, aren't we?
Yes, we're catering to RC helicopter, an RC helicopter audience, and yes. We're talking about planks.
Planks.
Planks or plankers? Planks, no, planks. Plankers. Plankers are the pilots.
Right. Planks. Planks are the planes, yeah. Yes, we're going to talk about planes this episode, but before we get into it, what have you been up to, Bert?
Oh, a lot has happened since last episode, yeah.
What has happened?
I went to Torches.
Yeah?
Yeah, I flew a lot. yeah.
No way.
It was cloudy.
Mm-hmm.
I give up on the plane. I haven't been able to fix it yet.
You'll get there.
It's been a long time, man. I've been procrastinating for the last 20 minutes? No, I mean the last week, trying to get this thing repaired. How about waiting on a motor for the Tortuga?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
And what else? Gator is doing a fun fly with Bobby Watts and Lance Huber. And
no way.
Yeah, they're doing the fun fly in December. We need to pitch this in. This is definitely a shameless plug for our club. We have to do this.
Let's hear it.
Guys, there's an event in Orlando. So to follow the, you know, as some of you may know, I started the Orlando Helicopter Blowout back in 2008. Yeah, 2008 with Carrie Shirley. We had a very nice, very solid 10-year run. I think at our peak year, we brought 349 pilots from all over the world, which is awesome for a club held event. The event grew too much and it got to the point where it was just kind of like getting commercialized.
Yeah, it was too much.
Deja vu. I kind of feel like talking about her check-in, but so, you know, it was time to end it. And but, you know, Gator, our new club VP, you know, is really, really adamant about doing an event and continuing on the tradition of Orlando event in December. And, you know, I think it's a great idea. Mm-hmm. It's a good idea. So, the dates are December 7th, 8th, 9th.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Torches. Torches, for all of you guys that don't know, stands for the Orlando Radio Control Helicopter Society. That's the name of our club.
Mm-hmm.
So, the name of the event is the Torches Winter Bash.
Nice.
Same field as OHB, 4225 Ocoee Apopka Road in Ocoee, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
The main difference, we're still going to allow camping. You guys can arrive as early as Tuesday and stay through Sunday. I don't remember what they said it was for pilot registration, but about $40, I think, something like that.
Something like that. Pretty simple.
It could be $45 with a t-shirt. I don't remember, but they'll make some posts soon on Facebook. I think I will actually make, we still have an Orlando Helicopter Blowout Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a few followers there. So I think I'll make a post there just to let people know. We talked to a bunch of people at IRCHA about this. And a lot of people seem enthusiastic about it. Because a lot of people want to escape the cold, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the winter.
Yeah, which is ironic because the last OHB, 2017, was freezing.
Well, not like in your neck of the woods up there.
Right. Freezing for my standards now that I have Florida blood in me. Which was probably about, 60? 55, 60? So it's definitely a good escape for everyone up north to get away from the cold. And, you know, you can go to Disney if you want, bring the family, have a good 60's time.
60's better than
negative 20.
Or negative 20.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Orlando. No. Yeah, Orlando. No, no Orlando.
No, no.
Torches Winter Bash.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. We're just laid back and having a good time.
We're going to do a King of the Midnight Sun, too.
Are we?
It's something like that, yeah.
You have to fly in it.
No,
yes,
no,
absolutely.
No, no. Now, Matt Bodo said he might come, and then he can help me on the microphone.
No. So, yeah, listen, no, if I have to fly in, so do you.
No, I'm old, dude. You don't understand. My vision does not work at night. No, you're not.
I'm old.
You're a third of 2.3 times less than me.
I'm an old soul. I'm an old soul. So there you go. I'm old. Yep. But Burt Kammerer will be competing in the King of the Midnight Sun.
No, but I'll be flying, and I'll be on the microphone. I'll be flying during the day, and then I'll be on the microphone at night, and it's going to be a fun event.
Yes.
And I know that I'm helping those guys with some of the, trying to get some sponsors to come and stuff like that.
Sure.
So if you're a company and you're listening to this podcast, we're not asking for anything special.
Nope.
We just want you guys to show up. If you can donate some product or swag or a gift certificate or whatever you can donate, that would be awesome because it helps our club cover the expenses for the event.
Sure.
Other than that, you're more than welcome to show up, bring your pilots, bring your family, just coming over. We're going to have a lot of fun. I think this will be the most fun Orlando event in the last few years because it's going to be all about bringing the hobby back to its roots, which is just fun.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
It's a very long drive for you and I to get there. So
yeah, yeah.
Pack up the cars and drive for about 30 minutes and we'll get there. But
so, yeah, hit if you have any questions, hit me up on Facebook, facebook.com/BurtRC, or get Gaeta, Michael Gaeta, G-A-E-T-A,
Gaeta.
On Facebook, or Bobby Watts, or even Lance Huber, H-U-B-E-R. Any of us can answer your questions, or even Kyle Stacey. He can relay it to us or to whomever.
Sure.
So, yeah, we're looking forward to this event. So, shameless plug.
Shameless plug. Yeah. But moving on.
Yeah.
Moving on. We're going to get into the airplanes.
Yeah. Why are we talking about airplanes today?
You want to know why? You want to know why?
Yeah.
SAB is releasing an airplane line called SAB Avio.
Yeah. What the hell is Avio?
Avio, what I assume is the Italian word for airplane, is the SAB line of airplanes. They have three coming right now. The KR-84 Tortuga.
Okay, stop right there.
Yes.
Don't even start with the other ones. Let's talk about this thing first.
Good, because I don't remember the others.
We're making this episode short and sweet today. This is simple. This is a busy week. You know, last week we talked about Urcha. This week we've been slammed, man.
Yeah.
So we gotta cut it short. Yeah.
But anyway, the Tortuga. I'm sure you guys have seen it on Facebook, Bert and I flying it and having a good time with it. So we're going to talk briefly about setup, how we fly it, recommended setup, and what we suggest you guys do. So first and foremost, how to set it up and recommended electronics.
Okay.
You want to take over?
Yeah, let me talk about this. First of all, I think we need to explain to people that, first of all, this thing is an awesome little plane. It comes almost completely built out of the box.
Yeah.
It's a huge, not huge, but it's a very large pizza box.
Pizza.
It's a pizza box. It's like a super huge, oversized pizza box.
Sure.
When you open the box, you have, in typical SAB fashion, if you're familiar with helicopters, a beautiful color manual.
Beautiful.
With very detailed instructions. Very nice. Italian style, for sure. The plane is already pre-built, so there's a few things you gotta do. You gotta update. You gotta install your linkages, your servos. You gotta glue your vertical stabilizers, and you gotta glue your motor mount for the motor. Mm-hmm. Other than that, that's all the gluing you gotta do, right?
Yeah.
Like vertical stabilizers, motor mount. I think that's it. I think that's all the glue you gotta do, really. Then you gotta mount your servos on the wing.
Mm-hmm.
You got to mount your canard servo, which controls your canard in the front and the nose.
Yep.
And you got to put your motor, your ESC, your flight controller or receiver, whatever you choose to use, and your battery. And that's it. You're good to fly. Your prop.
You're good to go. Yeah. Set it up and send it.
Yeah. Now, with this said, it's a beautiful plane. It's made in a vacuum. You know, it's vacuum formed. It's all one piece fiberglass. It has some kind of matte finish, which I really wasn't a big fan of it, but, you know, I kind of understand Stefano's philosophy and sort of thought around this matte finish. We're going to talk a little bit about Antarctica later, which is the line of airplanes from SAB Avio. So it's a little complicated. You got SAB Avio. It's like saying SAB Heli Division, right? Is the airplane division of SAB.
Sure.
Then you have Antarctica, which is the line of airplanes. And within Antarctica, you have all these airplanes. So the first airplane is the KR-84 Tortuga.
Mm-hmm.
Again, small plane. I think it's 30-inch wingspan. Very small. You can throw it in the back of your car. You can throw it in your front passenger seat.
Mm-hmm.
You can hand launch it or bungee launch it with a launcher.
Mm-hmm.
Does not have landing gear. I would love to have landing gear on it, but it's too small for that.
Sure.
Way too small. There's not enough room in the wings. It would be way too much of a challenge to put landing gear, and I don't think you'd be happy with the flight performance if you did.
Right.
So where were we at? That was my whole preamble to the setup. For setup.
Yes.
Is that where we're at?
Okay. Let's start in the front. Work our way back. So servos.
Servos. You need two wing servos. They're standard wing servos. MKS makes some wing servos. KST makes wing servos.
Spectrum.
Spectrum does. Yeah. Although I don't think the Spectrum has different dimensions, so make sure to look at the manual. The manual is available for download.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put it on the SABUSA.com website very soon. So look up the manual, but there's some dimensions in there. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that the Spectrum ones fit correctly, but
there's
a lot of companies making wing servos.
Right.
We're going to have our own BK Servo wing servo very soon as well, probably before this thing is released in North America.
And on ours, we have just standard BK 3001s, which is not factory recommended or set up for it, so you have to finagle a little bit. It's a little bit of tuning and tweaking, but it'll work.
Actually, honestly, you just got to glue them. That's it.
That's right. There's a wing servo mount that you just don't install. You just install the servo right to the right.
Correct.
That's right.
So when you look at the wing, you have like the wing opening for the servo, and you're looking directly to the other side of the wing through the inside,
mm-hmm.
and you're supposed to glue these servo mounts that are made out of like bass wood.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of doing that, so when you glue those servo mounts, then you screw the servo onto those basswood servo mounts. If you use like a BK servo, like a 3001 or a 3002 BK servo or any other standard micro servo, all you got to do is just put a freaking drop of like epoxy or something, 5-minute epoxy, and just glue the servo. I mean, that's what we did, right?
Right.
It's not the recommended ideal setup, but it worked. It's worked for us flawlessly ever since.
Yeah, so far so good. To keep it real simple.
Yeah, so you need two servos for the wing, micro or wing servo preferred, but micro would work.
Right.
And you need a micro servo for the canard, which it already has its perfect spot to be mounted and everything else.
Yep.
Then for the setup, you need a motor that has to be smaller than 36 millimeters in diameter. We're working with Exnova to release a motor. We will have it soon at bkhobbies.com very, very soon, within the next 10 days or even less. So it'll be available in plenty of time for the release of the airplane. We're actually pre-selling this motor right now too.
Mm-hmm.
I think it retails under $90, and it's a perfect motor. It's designed for this. You don't need a prop adapter. You don't need anything. You just bolt it on and go.
Yep.
Put the prop on and go.
Sweet.
You need about 80 amp BSC. It could be Castle Creations. It could be Hobby Wing. It could be any ESC you can think of that's good for an airplane, right? We're using the Hobby Wing Fun. Is it the Fun series?
The Fly Fun series.
Fly Fun series.
I believe we have a Hobby Wing 80 amp in there right now.
Yeah, it's a Fly Fun 80.
Yeah, Fly Fun 80. And it's worked great. So far, so good. Yeah. Absolutely zero issues. It's got a great BEC built into it. We're obviously using the airplane mode. Programmable,
the V-plane.
Brakes and stuff.
We're using the airplane mode on the ESC, of course, because it's an airplane. And then we're also running for receiver, not just a plain old receiver. We're flying a V-bar Neo because we're helicopter guys.
Yep, we have a V-bar Neo with the V-plane software.
V-plane software.
Yeah, running the gains on it, yes, but they're very, very low.
Very low, I think.
Very low.
15 or...
Probably even lower.
Yeah. 12, 15.
Yeah, very low because it's going so fast. You don't need
high gains.
You don't need high gains, but it's there.
And for battery, you need something in between 2700 and 3300.
Yep.
I feel that at 33, we tried it with 33, remember, and it was a bit heavy.
It was heavy.
I feel like a good compromise is like a 3000. So the ones we've been flying lately, the ones we flew at IRCHA, had a 3,000 milliamp pulse battery.
Yep.
45C.
Yep.
That's all you need.
Yep.
Yeah, and then for prop, anywhere between I would say a 5 inch by 5 by 4 all the way up to a 6 by 4.
Mm-hmm.
I think a five, there's a APC prop. It's a 5.1 by 4.75 is perfect for it.
Yeah,
perfect.
That's what we're flying right now, and it's working really well.
And that thing books, man. That thing, I mean, I got this turbine jet from my buddy Greg Alderman recently,
mm-hmm.
and this is a real turbine jet. It's a small turbine, so but it's way overpowered, and I think the Tortuga is even faster, dude.
It feels like it.
Yeah, that thing is like rips, man.
Yeah, that thing when you really just send it wide open and just right down the runway, man, it sends chills down your spine because that thing is just cooking, absolutely cooking.
But a word of advice. Don't keep it wide open, throttle. You're going to blow something up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, let it breathe. Let it breathe.
Let it breathe. Fly it at a third throttle.
Yeah.
Half throttle. Get lined up to do a high-speed pass and then freaking floor it and then come off of it. It is such a high-power setup. I think we're pushing the envelope on this thing, aren't we?
We are. So you really don't want to just crank it the whole time. It's a really nice flying airplane, though. At low speed, it's pretty predictable once you slow it down and get it to like modest flying speed. Like it almost comes to a stop before it drops a wing and stalls. So you can slow the thing down and kind of cruise.
Oh, it stalls beautifully. Yeah. It doesn't have any bat stall tendencies or anything.
It's very predictable when it stalls. So just leave the full throttle for the quick passes down the flight line, then come off of it and let everything breathe and cool down. But this is not meant to scare you guys away by any means, but it is a fun plane. Like I get a kick out of flying it. Like it's exciting. It raises the hair on the back of your neck, that's for sure.
No doubt. Yeah. So let's talk about launching. So I don't want to scare people with this. I think it's an awesome plane. I think it's within reason relatively inexpensive, because if you think about a full composite, full fiberglass airplane for $350, you can't beat that, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
Especially as cool as this is. But if you've never flown an airplane, don't get this thing. I love to sell it to you, but just don't get it.
It's not a beginner plane. It's not at all. It's for advanced pilots. You should know what you're getting yourself into. It's fast. It takes some skill. You got to know what you're doing with a fast airplane. Start off with a high wing trainer if you've never flown a plane before. Like we said, we're not trying to scare you, but we just want you to know what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah. If you've flown airplanes before and you feel really, really comfortable with an airplane, then you'd have no problem. Yes. But one thing you have got to keep in mind, how you can get this thing in the air. You want to talk about launching this thing, Kyle?
Man, we've had some ups and literally some downs with this thing, getting it in the air. This is tough. Like,
so once it's airborne, it's fine.
Once it's airborne, it's fine. Getting it there is the trouble. And what I've learned through this is that I am an absolutely god-awful, terrible airplane launcher.
Here we go again.
Absolutely terrible, because every time I throw it, it does a full left-hand roll. Next thing you know, Bert's Tortuga is in the ground because I can't throw very well. But I can't even, we don't even have like a really good way to throw it. Like we just, like you kind of have your method and it seems to be working, but it kind of goes against everything we've heard from SAB.
What's my method?
About a, what would you say, a 30 degree up angle? Take 3 steps, run with it, and
it's more like 50 degrees.
Oh, it's not that high, is
it? Yeah, seriously, 45 to 60.
All right, and then kind of do 3 steps of the run with it, throw it, and on the first step, you go full throttle and just let go and hope it keeps going. But I think if you guys can build yourself a launcher or find yourself one, we're working on some sort of plans for a launcher that we can show you guys, but I think a launcher with a bungee cord is really the way to go.
I think that what makes the launching tough is that, excuse me, you need wind over the, you need speed so that you can create wind over the surfaces.
Correct.
In order for the surfaces themselves to be responsive enough.
Correct.
So the minute you launch it, you have a natural tendency for the airplane to roll to the left because of the torque on the motor.
Sure.
And if you're not going fast enough, you doesn't matter how much right aileron you give it, it's not going to respond until it picks up enough speed. So the way that we've been launching it, when we hand launch it, is we aim it really 45 to 60 degrees in the air, because the plane has enough power to weight ratio that it'll kind of get it moving.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it rolls to the left and you feel like you're going to crash because it's rolling and rolling, you will have enough surface authority before it gets low enough to counteract that left rolling tendency and get it going.
Yeah.
But undoubtedly, I think the safest and easiest way to make it fly, to get it off the ground, is to get it with the launcher, right?
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. The thing that you want is Air Force going over the surfaces to make the surfaces functional. Because once the surfaces are moving and actually doing something, then you're fine. The scary part is when you have throttle behind it, the airplane's coming down and not nearly enough airspeed for the surfaces to work, and you're giving all the inputs you can, but it's not doing anything.
Yeah.
So I think a bungee is definitely the way to go, especially if you and your buddy pick up a couple of Tortugas to fly together. Like, right now how it works is Bird will throw it and I'll fly it, or vice versa, I'll throw it and he flies it, but we can't fly them together and, like, race or have fun together. But if we can have a bungee system where we can both fly at the same time, then it's a lot more fun.
And we've seen the Italians launch it with a launching system time and time again, and it's not that hard, but you need a very strong bungee system.
Correct.
So you need like 1/8-inch bungee cord, which you can buy like Amazon or something for like $10. You need like 50-foot long bungee cord, and then attach a string of some sort towards the end, the last 10 feet or whatever. And when you stretch the 50-foot long bungee cord, you're stretching it to like 100 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So you either hold it with your hands while it's stretched out and hooked into this bungee, because we've seen that being done safely every time. Let it go. Don't even worry about the throttle. It'll fly on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And just feed a little bit of back elevator. It'll climb and then ease into the throttle because you'll already be airborne.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have a ramp that you can either buy from some cheap, online shop, like, I don't know, like, what's it called? Hobby King or
a whatever place it
like.
Is, yeah.
And or make your own with, like, PVC or something. Go to your local hardware store, buy some PVC, and make your own ramp.
Yeah. But Bert and I are starting to look into some different bungee options. So rest assured, once we find a solid, reliable way to get this thing in the air, we will let you know. Because at the time of recording this podcast, we have plenty of time before the planes get here and get in your guys' hands. So
the planes are on the way. They're already on the boat.
You said the key word, on the boat.
They're on the boat.
They left like a week ago.
They left a week and a day ago.
So they will be here in about a month, right?
About another five, six more weeks. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a boat. It's a boat. It's coming from Asia.
Yeah.
Has to make it to LA, has to come off the boat, has to be, they call it deveining, has to be deveined.
Deveined?
Yeah.
Whoa.
The boat has to be deveined.
Deveined. But they're on their way, heading to the US of A to be distributed by SAB USA. And we're doing pre-orders now, so if you guys have an interest in this thing, check it out. It is a fun plane. It is fun once you get it up in the air and get it tuned to how you want it.
Once it's airborne, it's a sweet. It's awesome. It's awesome. And it doesn't have any bad stall tendencies.
It really doesn't.
It's very difficult to slow down.
Yeah, it's a predictable airplane.
It's very difficult to slow down.
It is.
It wants to go fast. Yes. And you can chop the throttle and feed back elevator and like let it bleed its speed off, and it takes forever to slow down.
Yes.
It wants to naturally go fast. But other than that, doesn't have any bat stall tendencies. It really flies really well. And landing is a breeze. If you have any kind of grassy field, you can land that thing. Just slow it down. Yep. You know, slow it down.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it a foot off the ground. Keep feeding back elevator until the thing kind of virtually stalls.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll land beautifully. Like, landing is not a problem.
Yeah, just set it right down on the belly. Let it slide on the grass. You're good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So far, so good. The beauty of this thing is a prop pusher, right?
Yes.
So even though you need air over the surfaces, when you give it throttle, the throttle is instant. It's right there.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
So I know SAB mentioned that they're going to make a turbine version of this. I've seen people fly these things already as a turbine, but they've had to make some modifications to make it work.
Right.
But SAB is going to make one sort of like a different version of it, or like slightly tweaked or something.
Yeah, out of the box to be ready for
out turbine. Of the box will be ready for turbine. It'll have a fuel tank. It'll have like everything you need, the turbine mounts and everything, so you can just put the turbine in and go.
Yes.
I like the prop pusher though.
I think it's just simple and easy.
It's so cheap though. I mean, the motor is like $80 to $90.
Yeah.
ESC is another $80 more or something like that.
It's maybe cheap, whatever it is,
I mean, and then the servos, depending on whether you go with cheap servos, plastic cheap servos, or high-end servos, I think the most expensive servo is in the order of $100 for like an Expert or something. Our servos, our high-end servos are $60-some.
Yeah.
You can buy KSTs for like in the $20-some range. I mean, there's so many different options for servos, right? Yeah. From $20 to $100.
Right.
So if you go cheap end, $60 gets you three servos.
Yep.
You can beat that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Not and bad, then no. If you want to have the best of the best, it's $300, right? Yep. So it's inexpensive. It's awesome. Yeah,
it's a good plane. It's fun. It's pretty sweet. And like Bird said, you can fly it on a turbine. If you're one of those crazy guys that wants to run a turbine motor in this thing. But there's also some other upgrades coming for this thing as well. And Rico's been busy.
Oh, yeah, they're working on... What are they working on?
Well, first and foremost, they're working on a rudder kit. So the first version that's coming to us right now has no rudders. But by the time you get it, I do believe the rudder kit will be ready. It's the vertical stabilizers just have surfaces on them. They have functioning rudders. And I think the servos obviously mount into the stabilizer. You can have functioning rudders. So that's one upgrade.
No need.
And then the next one is thrust vectoring. It's on elevator, isn't it? Elevator thrust vectoring? I think it's elevator thrust vectoring. So you can put a servo and have the motor move with the elevator commands, and I don't know what you would use that for.
I don't think that they've actually decided that this is a go. I think they're experimenting now.
They're teasing with it.
Yeah, they're teasing. But it might, for all that matters, it might not even come to fruition, right?
Right. But all we saw was a quick video on SAB Avio Facebook showing it. So,
but regardless, the plane as it is in stock form, just get the plane, get an ESC and a motor, a prop, three servos, receiver and battery.
Yep.
You're good to go. I think you're going to have a lot of fun with it.
Yep.
It's just cool. It's just something different. And it's great to take to, like, we flew it at IRCHA.
We did, on the main flight line.
The main flight line.
Yeah.
Friday night? Yeah, Friday night.
Friday night.
Mm-hmm. And I remember you telling me, like, dude, you're freaking crazy. This is a very bad idea. I'm like, no, it's badass. We're going to fly it. You're like, no. I launched it for you, and then I took the radio from you, and I flew it, and it was fine.
I couldn't see it. I mean, this thing is bright.
What? Oh, shut up.
Okay, dude. So whatever. Yeah, 22, almost 23. My vision is, by a technical perspective,
I was able to see it. How could you not see it?
I don't know. But
you can fly a helicopter. I did rolling circle with it.
You're a better airplane pilot than
me. You're so full of shit. God.
I don't know. I was having trouble seeing it. The sky was all cloudy because it was getting ready to rain. It's a bright airplane, so in a regular sky, it's very easy to see. But
the whole IRCHA board was there watching.
Yeah, they rolled up as we were getting ready to launch it. Like, uh-oh, what'd we do wrong?
I don't know that they were too happy, but they didn't complain.
No, like,
they're like, oh, that's cool.
Let's watch it. Let's see what happens, but...
Anyway, Tortuga, that's about it for the Tortuga,
One last thing I do want to touch on is that spare parts will be available. There's all sorts of, like, motor mounts. If you mess up your motor mount, vertical stabilizer, stuff like that will be available.
It's a pretty strong plane.
In case you tweak it.
You want to tell the story about my first launch with that prop?
The small prop?
Yeah, you got to tell the story. So this is why we're here, guys. We're experimenting with this shit so that you can learn from our mistakes. So we've... proven definitively that, is that the proper word?
Definitively, yes, yeah.
That if you use the Exnova motor we're using, or there's another motor called a Typhoon, the problem with that motor is you have to buy it in France or something. But it's not widely available in the United States. But if you get the Exnova motor, without a doubt, if you get the right props, 5.1 by 4.75 APC prop or a 6x4, you will have no problem flying this thing. But when we're experimenting with this, we had an early prototype Exnova motor, didn't have the same power, and I put too small of a prop. I think that thing was like a 4.5 by something.
It was tiny.
By 3, it was a tiny prop. Man. And so Kyle proceeded to launch this the airplane for me. And I could feel when I went full throttle in my hand that it just didn't have the thrust to get airborne, but I thought it would go. And thank God it had rained. And for all of you familiar with Florida, we get a lot of rain in the summer, and it had been pouring. And we have this very soft ground. It's full of what we call in Florida sugar sand. It was really, really soft. So explain what happens next.
So Bird and I had this procedure where we were getting ready to launch. The launcher would call down 3, 2, 1, and on go, we would let go of the airplane. So I'm holding in my hand. He goes 4th throw. I'm like, eh, it's not too much, but it should probably fly. I'm holding it. I go, all right, 3, 2, 1, go. And I throw it. And it leaves my hand, and it makes a beautiful woo arc.
And it immediately torques left, because that's what it wants to do, but it had no thrust to fly.
It torques left, no thrust, and it just immediately goes nose down.
Kept going down, and I was holding full right elevator and aileron, and it was like not feeding anything.
Not going anywhere.
And it lawn darted.
It lawn darted, and it stuck into the ground like
a fence
post.
You know what? We should put that as our main episode pick.
Yes.
That picture.
Yeah.
Because Kyle took a picture of it. We have to. We have to put
it's sticking out of the ground completely unscathed.
And it's
zero
a testament
damage.
Of how strong the plane is. I mean, of course, anything is breakable, right? Helicopters are, planes are, especially airplanes. But this thing is pretty strong. I'm surprised. I mean, that thing went right into the ground as a lawn dart. So
I'm looking at the picture right now.
And the listeners might not even believe our story. They might the listeners might think that we planted this. Like this we planned it. Like we I don't know, we cut a hole in the ground to put it in. No. I swear to God, on my mother's eyes, this is legit. No. 100%. This is legit 100%. This thing literally landed the way you will see on this picture. And it's awesome. Great. It's awesome.
It's gold. It's gold. But
all right, let's move on. You have anything else to say about the Tortuga?
I think we covered the Tortuga, honestly. We covered the setup and the spare parts and the turbine version and I don't know. Do you want to talk a little bit about the future other airplanes coming out, the bigger ones?
Yeah. So SAB has this huge plan to be at something called an event called Jet Power in Germany. I believe it's the middle of September. And they're going to, for the first time ever, show their other airplanes. They have 2 airplanes in the pipeline. I don't remember the numbers, right?
I don't either, but I know one of them is called the Havoc.
Yeah. And the other one. Excuse me, the other one's called the Drake.
The Drake looks like a big Tortuga to me. The Drake is kind of like a bigger Tortuga in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Havoc is a crazy swept forward wing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With a turbine in the back, and it looks gnarly. I like that one a lot. But.
And they're both turbine planes. And the one thing that, after speaking with Stefano, one of the owners of SAB, that I thought was kind of cool and sort of different and revolutionary about SAB with regards to the offering on these planes, on these jets. These are basically turbine powered jets. Mm-hmm. We've gotten some questions of whether or not they're going to be made. Dr. Fan, I don't think so. Uh-uh. I've asked. They said no. I think they're too big and too heavy to be made with a Dr. Fan.
Yeah.
So they're all going to be turbine powered. For the people that like turbines, you know, they're going to be using somewhere in the neighborhood of a 200 kilogram turbine, 200 Newton power turbine, so something like that. Uh-huh. They're what we would consider a mid-sized jet, so 60 to 65 inch wingspan based on the specs. But the thing that's different about this for the people familiar with jets is they're going to retail for considerably less than most other sport jets on the market.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to come with the retracts. They're going to have their own retract system.
Yes.
Magnetic retracts, electric magnetic, so electromagnetic. So they're not going to be air or anything like that. So that's kind of cool.
The first one I just found is the MK-165 Havoc. That is the swept wing one.
MK-165.
But turbine power, like Bert said, if you go on the SABAVIO Facebook page, they post all sorts of pictures of the planes themselves, as well as some teaser pictures, some drawing pictures, all sorts of stuff. They're showing the turbine Tortuga, as well as the KR-170 Drake.
KR.
We're going to have to get into the letters.
Because KR is from Kruger Industries.
Kruger Industries. What is the other one? There's McGruger. No.
Kruger? McGruger? Kruger. I don't know.
Well, that's the Antarctica story. That's later on. But yeah, check out their Facebook. They got some cool stuff. They're teasing what's to come. They're showing some in-process photos, such as building the planes in the factory and all that. So that's cool.
So Kyle, you've flown airplanes off and on all your life. I think you started with an airplane, didn't you?
I started with helis and airplanes 18 years ago.
So have you flown a turbine?
I have never flown a turbine. Ever.
Really?
Nope.
No way.
Gas, nitro, and electric. That's it.
So the turbine, in terms of the power response, goes completely against anything and everything that I've ever that I've done with helicopters.
Well, what's funny is you got your first turbine airplane Sunday of Urcha. Mr. Greg Alderman built you one.
Yeah, I've flown them before, but that was like my first owned, like personal,
And I remember when we were there, when you first started flying it, the plane's on the ground and I watch you go full throttle. I watch your stick move and about 5 seconds later, the airplane starts doing something. I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
I'm like, huh? How are you supposed to work with that delay? But I guess you just kind of figure it out and you plan ahead. So.
And then that's what I mean by like going absolutely 100% against what I'm used to doing for the last 14 years,
which is instant power. Whenever
helicopters are naturally slow movers, you have to force them to go fast, but they respond instantaneously.
Instantly.
Turbines are naturally very fast. They're very difficult to slow down, which is the opposite, but they're extremely delayed with power.
Extremely is putting it lightly.
So it's almost like you have to predict. So like... And that's why I'm having trouble landing, dude, because I'm coming in way too hot or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I'm afraid to slow it down too much, because if I slow it down too much and I have to bail out. You saw in Muncie at AMA last weekend on Site 3, I went to do a landing, and I was short, and I gave it full throttle at the threshold of the runway, and it didn't bail out. You're like, you thought I was landing, or you said, what are you doing? You're coming off the runway. No, I was going around.
Yeah.
I had committed to giving it full throttle, but it took like... 3 or 4 seconds to even respond, right?
Yeah, that's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
So it is awesome, though, because they sound so freaking badass, and they're so fast, and they're so just realistic. I think mainly because the sound is, like, incredible.
Dude, when we were at the field on Sunday, and it's a small field with trees surrounding us, and you came in full tilt, full throttle, right in front of us, I was like, dude, that's the coolest thing in the world right there.
And it was ripping, too.
No, I was moving.
Yeah. So, yeah, turbines are unique, and, you know, I would never see them as a replacement for helis, but I think it's a really good way to change the pace.
Yeah.
Change the pace.
It's cool. They sound sweet. Change the pace. If anything, they sound sweet.
I'm not going to fly it every weekend like I fly my helis or, like, every time I go to the field, but, like, every once in a while, it's just kind of cool. It's just different. Yeah. And I can't wait to get... my hands on one of these, like, that swept back wing thing, that Havoc thing.
The Havoc is gnarly. The Havoc.
So,
do you want to touch on Antarctica?
Yeah, we need to, just briefly. I think a lot of people know the story, but we have to.
Yeah.
You want to tell the story?
I am going to butcher it. But from what I understand, the story is, it's kind of like a story to go along with the airplanes. Like, it's Antarctica is the idea that the world is over and it's like restarting with like...
the world, so cyber terror, it's very politically correct. It doesn't involve any country or anything like that. It's basically some schizo like cyber terrorist like or cyber terrorist like cost the end of the some kind of nuclear war and then the world comes to an end. And
the
then,
world exploded and came back and now and then, we have...
Well, whomever survived, you know, in the southern hemisphere, and the only thing that's around now is the Antarctic continent, right?
Sure.
So
the story's out there if you guys want to hear it or listen to it or read it. Basically,
it's on the manual for the airplanes too.
Right.
It's in the front of the manual, I think.
Right. But it's like a cliff notes. Bert might be able to explain it better. But the cliff notes is there's a robo drone. And then there's a piloted drone. The robo drones are like robots. Like, there's nothing piloting it.
Correct.
And the KR-84 Tortuga is a robo drone. There's no pilot.
There's no pilot.
But the Havoc is not a robo drone, right?
I don't think so.
The Havoc has a pilot.
And then there's the good guys and the bad guys. Because the whole theme of the story is that there's all these dependent states that are controlled by the main state, right?
Protectorate.
And then they start this sort of like battle of independence sort of thing. And that's what the whole thing goes around. And like, you know, Stefano, you know, the original founder of SAB, wanted to do something different and original. And the main thing is he didn't want to do a basic sport jet, because everybody does sport jets.
Yeah.
Sport jets are overrated. Everybody has their own version. They call them the Vipers. They call them the whatever. And then, you know, there's a scale jet, like F-18, Hornets, and F-16s, and whatever it is. There's so many scale ones.
F-22, everything.
He didn't want to do one or the other. He wanted to do his unique thing, the same way they did the Goblin with the helicopters back in the day.
Sure.
So he just thought of what can I do that's different? You know, back in the Goblin days, he thought of some mystical creatures from some movies and some stories. and he developed a goblin. This time, he thought more in depth, and he's like, you know, we should imagine if there was a new world where the new scale jet is not an F-16, but it's a Havoc, or it's a Tortuga.
Sure.
It's a different world. And then he went backwards from there and kind of developed that world. Kind of like, it almost reminds me of a very, very minuscule version of like a Star Wars story, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of. Like, I mean, he had his own story, and he just took off with it. And he's like, based on the story, like, the guy has a crazy imagination. Started thinking about all these things, like, oh, yeah, but we could have, you know, this dependent state or protectorate, as they call them, you know, they don't have pilots. They have autonomous, you know, airplanes. So they're robo drones. And this other state has pilots. So these are not the robo drones. In this state, the manufacturer is called Kruger or whatever.
Kruger Industries.
And this other one is called this. And he started coming up with his ideas to make some sort of fictional scale model that does not exist, right?
Right.
But everything within the story kind of makes sense in a way or another. And if you guys read the story as time progresses and you see the planes and the new jets and the new things are going to be releasing, everything is going to kind of make more and more sense along the way.
Right. And you can follow along with the story, or if you want to be the good guys, the bad guys, the robo drones, the Kruger Industries, or I think the other one is
McDougal.
I don't know.
No way.
It's tough.
No McDougal.
McGroggle.
You should have been prepared for all this stuff.
McDonald's. I don't know.
McDonald's. No. McDonald's. But every airplane, there's two primary manufacturers, right? So like, KR-84 Tortuga.
Yes.
It's made by Kruger Industries.
Correct.
Okay? And it's a robo-drone. Then you have the Havoc. The Havoc is made by the McMurdo.
Yeah.
McMurdo Industries.
Correct.
And that's also a robo-drone.
Is it?
Yeah. And then you have the KR-174 Drake, another turbine model. It's also, they're all robo-drones for now.
Okay, so they're all robo-drones.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
This one is a multi-role fighter, and it's also made by Kruger. So basically, you have the Drake and the Tortuga. They're both made by Kruger Industries, and then, which is, I think, the good guys. I might be wrong on this.
I don't remember.
I recorded the story.
I know. If you guys see the video somewhere, that's actually Bert reading the story.
Yeah, that's my voice. But
after he translated it from Italian.
Anyway, these big planes are going to retail for about half the price of what you can expect a traditional sport jet to retail for.
Yep.
They're going to have their own retracts. So if you've always wondered about being in the world of turbine airplanes, you know, you could get into a turbine for a fraction of the cost of what you would have with any other traditional sport jet.
Sure.
So it's a cool deal. In addition, this is a shameless plug for my buddy Greg, but in addition, if you're interested in turbines, a good way to start is with an airplane that I got myself called the Viper from a company called Harlock RC. Very inexpensive. I think they retail for the $600 range. Mm-hmm. And then in addition to that, you need your turbine, your retract, servos, and stuff like that. But you can be in the air with a turbine for about $3,000, which is really not a lot more than a turnkey ready-to-fly helicopter, right?
Right. And this is a actual real turbine, and it's everything that has to do with the turbine is just, you know, smaller overall.
Just smaller, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. So it sounds like a turbine.
Yeah, Greg can help you out. JAGR-RC.com, JAGRC.com.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a good entry-level plane, too, to get you into turbines, bigger turbines later on. So, yeah, I think we've talked enough about planes.
Maybe we should bring Greg on in the future in the next couple episodes to really fill us in on what we're talking
about. Funny
thing
is, Greg was like was, maybe I'm wrong. He might still be, but he was a huge helicopter guy, right?
Yeah,
and now
back
he's
in the
like
day.
So hooked on this turbine stuff.
That's why we got to get him back and really square us away on this turbine stuff, because he is absolutely the man to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
He's got more turbines than I do helicopters.
So I think we've talked enough about planks.
I think you're right.
Okay, so how do you do it in HTML? You open the bracket, slash planks, close the bracket. That means it's done. And
exactly. Anyways, so
for next week.
Next week.
Send us your ideas.
Yes.
We thank you for all your comments. We've seen some comments in Podbean and iTunes and various comments on Facebook. We'll probably read some of these comments on a future episode.
Yes.
But we appreciate it. We need to invite the guys from Freefall RC too.
Me too.
And the guys from
Full Pitch.
The Full Pitch. Yes. Yeah. Yep. We need to invite those guys. We need to kind of do a podcast together.
The podcast of all podcasts. We'll get those boys on and have a good time talking some trash.
That would be cool.
Yep.
All right. Anyway. I think that's all I got, Kyle. No more plank talk.
Done. Finished. So?
So, where can you be reached? Instagram?
Instagram.com/KyleStacy. I'm most easily reached at Facebook.com/KyleStacyRC. I'm very slow to respond, but I do monitor all the messages. So if you sent me a message and you're still waiting for a response, please bear with me, and I will get back to you.
Nice. I can be reached at, I think it's Facebook.com/BirdRC. Mm-hmm. And reach us on Facebook at the BK. I think it's the official BK or the BK official.
The BK official.
Just look us up. And the same with Instagram. I'm personally reachable on Instagram at Burke Kammer. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening. So send us your episode ideas for a topic you want us to cover.
Yes.
And we'll get on to it.
Yes. And guests, if there's people you want to hear from.
Yeah, guests too. Yeah, it's been a while. We need a guest.
Yeah, we need a guest. All right. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Do it.
This is all winging it. I have no idea what I'm doing. The guitar is in the wrong tuning.
It's fine.
Come on. No, hit stop. No need.